Yikra and it's Zachor. You want to take it?
Thank you.
I'll take it. Yeah. Zachor. Tafshinayin Vav. Okay. So I think I have it down on the page here, mostly, I think. Pasuk says, it's a little unclear to me, you'll note, I put in these historical notes here. It's because I once started this, but I never really finished it, when I was going to Poland for something. So I was trying to point out how Torah connects the Jewish people from all over the world, all different times. So that's why I've got these historical notes on here, but whatever. Okay. At any event, So the pasuk says, "V'kirbo chroav yirchatz b'mayim v'hiktir hakoin es hakol." Right, hamizbecha ola ishe reach nichoach l'Hashem. Right, the innards, right, the insides. It's the legs, face, not legs, we call it the crime. Yeah, your chatzamayim will all be washed, the inner part of the body will be washed of the ola's bakar. V'hiktir hakohen es hakol, and it'll be offered up, burnt offering on the mizbeach. Ola ishe reach nichoach l'Hashem. A fire offering, a pleasant fragrance before Hashem. That's what it says, v'gabe, the ola of bakar. Right, the steer. Then it also says, right, it says v'shisa osa b'chnafav. This is by the olas ha'of. Yeah, let's say a person brings an oaf. Right, he splits it in half from the back. Lo yavdil, but he doesn't separate it completely. And it remains attached in the front. V'higdir osa ha'koin, osa ha'koin amizbecha ala etzim asher ala esh. Olahu ishe reach nichoach l'Hashem. Again, the same thing. Recall the olas ha'of is brought as a korban. It also says it's an ishe reach nichoach l'Hashem. It's a fire offering, pleasant fragrance before the Ribono Shel Olam. Then in Perek Beis in Vayikra, it says there about bringing a mincha. Ve'via el b'nei Aaron v'kamatz misham lo kumtzo. Person brings a mincha. Misaltal, mishamna, kolavona, savik, tira, koinis, as karasa, mizbecha, ishereach, nichoach, l'Hashem. So, once again, by the mincha, so you take a kmitza, you take the handful of the flour, and that goes along with the lavona. Was that frankincense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the frankincense. And for the place where there's the shemen, there's a ribui of shemen there, and that goes on the mizbech, and it's burnt on the mizbech. Once again, it's an ishe reach nichoach l'Hashem. So Rashi says two things. Right? He says two things. He says, on Pasuk Yud Zayin, he says that Bichnafav, right, you see that underneath there, Bichnafav, Notza Mamish, in other words, we call the feathers are there. Yeah, Valo Einlecha, really don't take it personally. Valo Einlecha Hedjot, Shemei Riach Reach Ra, Shel Knafayim, Nisrafim, Ve'ein Nafsho Kotza Alav. A person, you know, a regular person, like a person, he smells burning feathers, and it's like, you know, like it's gross city, right? It's gross city. Ve'im nafsho kotz alav. We call this a person who smells that and say, "Oh wow, that's what a sweet fragrance that is." I mean, only the person is totally Fruit Loops does he say something like that. V'lama amar akosa v'hiktir. Why do the pasuk say to burn? Kadesh yehi hamizbech savea u'mehudar b'korbano shel oni. So the mizbeach should be satiated and mahudar. It's a hidur, right? It's a beautification, as it were, right? Of right. So it's glorious, It's mahudar, it's glorious. It should be satiated and in a state of glory from the korban of the ani. The korban of the ani. Okay? So that's one thing. That's one thing that Rashi mentions. Then is that you burn the olas ha'of along with the feathers. You don't take the feathers off. In spite of the fact that the smell of burning feathers is not exactly what one would call fragrance. Right? But to show that it's shechavin is libo la'shamayim. Shechavin is libo la'shamayim. I'm not sorry. To show that the korban of the ani is it makes the mizbeach saveya umehudar, saveya umehudar, satisfied, satiated, umehudar, and that what's a good translation of the word mehudar?
No,
glorified. I mean, we talk like something it's done in the finest fashion. Glorified. Okay.
I guess the point is that if you strip off the feathers, yeah.
Yeah.
So he doesn't look as nice that way.
Right. It's also very small. I mean, it's just a little bird.
Right.
But on the other hand, it gives off it reeks. It's terrible, terrible odor. It's interesting. The Rama Memor Nevuchim, when he talks about the idea of, you know, I mean, the Rama there is explaining the relationship, different korbanos and things like that. And, he's in what would be in a rationalistic jargon. He talks about the ktores. The ktores there is to dispel a foul odor that might be in what he called in the mikdash. Again, he's speaking from a rationalistic point of view instead, but the truth is it's a very deep point of view. The idea of a foul odor is associated with death. Right? Anything that has a foul odor is associated with death because it's been detached from life. You know, fecal matter has a foul odor, it's attached from life. Sweat has a foul odor, it's detached from life. A dead animal has a foul odor, it's detached from life. The dead human, lo aleinu, is really called, is kind of the foulest odor because it's detached from life. So since the mikdash is meant to be a place of life, right? It's a place of Elohim Chaim, right? The source of all life. So therefore the it should be fragrant. But over here, when it comes to the olas ha'of, we burn that, even though it's got a foul odor. It's interesting. Rashi does not note, right? Rashi does not note, let's keep on going. Keep on going. It's because I'm tired. Then Rashi says afterwards, he brings the Gemara in Menachos. That's a mistake. It says Menachos Kuf Yud Aleph. There aren't that many blunt in Menachos. It's Kuf Yud, right? It's Nemar. It says Ba'of Reach Nichoach. V'Nemar Behema Reach Nichoach. His last mission in Menachos. And he brings it down. It says Ba'of Reach Nichoach. V'Nemar Behema Reach Nichoach. Lo Melacha to tell you Ech Ramabe Ve'Ech Ramamit Ubelvat Shechaven Is Libo LaShamayim. It says both by the oaf, by the bird, and also it says it by the behema, reich nichoch, a sweet fragrance, to tell you, echra marbe, the one who does a lot, echra mamit, one who does little, right, or one who adds and one who detracts.
What is this referring to?
So we'll have to see. To teach you to recall that at first glance it would appear that it's telling you that quality and not quantity is the important thing. We'll have to talk about that another time. Right. Don't be too concrete. You recall so the Okay. So, so we learned thank you, appreciate it. We learned two lessons.
Yeah.
We learned two lessons from the whatever it is, from these Rashis here. One,
the bird that the poor person brings, is that any particular korban?
It's an olas ha'of.
Why did you bring
it? Because you can't afford to bring an ox. Ola is what it calls is either mechaper huri avera, or it's mechaper on what he called on bitul essay, not the failure to fulfill mitzvah, a positive mitzvah. And this is, a person brings it voluntarily. It's not like, you know, like they force you to bring it, right? But if a person does that, that's what it's mechaper on huri avera. Mechaper on Bitl Essay. So at any event, so be that as it may, we learn two lessons from the Rashis here. We learn one lesson, the idea that we're not sure good what to do with this just yet. The fact that it says to burn the Olas Ha'of with the feathers, even though it creates a foul odor, so that the mizbeach will be, as it were, will be mehudar, will be, you know, glorified in its best state, saveya umehudar, satisfied and mehudar. Interesting. And then there's the second lesson is the idea of echra marba vechra mamit. That whether the person does a lot or a person does a little, as long as his intention is to do Shem Shemayim, so then that's the Iker. Now the Gemara, see right underneath that, I didn't skip a line, the Gemara underneath it says in from Nachos, Amrav Yuda, it's a Mishnah, right? Mishnah, it says Ba'olas Behema Ishe Richoach. Ubaolas Oaf, it says Ishe Reach Nichoach, Uba Mincha Ishe Reach Nichoach. So in all three of them, it says Ishe Reach Nichoach, to teach us Lomalacha Echra Mabiv Echra Mamit Bavachi Chavin Libo Shamai. So Rashi was quoting from the Mishnah in Menachos. The only thing is that there's a problem over here. Rashi. Doesn't what he called Rashi only he mentions it with regard to the oaf and regard to the steer, to the ox, but he doesn't mention it with regard to the mincha. You know, in all of them. The mehudah and saveya is regarding the oaf, but the ishe reach nichoach that teaches you echra marbe echra mamit bevad shichav and libo shamayim. So there, the Mishnah in Menachos brings all three things where it says Ishireach Nichoach, both by the steer, and by the oaf, and by the mincha. And ostensibly, you would think at first glance that it would make more sense for Rashi to bring Gabi the mincha, because the mincha is the opposite pole. In other words, why do it at the oaf? You should do it at the mincha.
Do what?
You should bring this din, the din of Echra Marba Echra Mamit. Because from the structure of the chumash, albeit that I think the Pine Yafos wants to learn that it's echra marbev echra mamit. No matter it's not dependent on how much you do, but rather the quality that you mechagel l'shem shamayim. So you should have brought it.
That phrase is not in the chumash.
That phrase is in the Mishnah in Menachos, the last Mishnah in Menachos. It's commenting on the psukim here in the chumash here in Vayikra that it says both by the steer and by the bird and by the meal offering. It says by all of them, Ishireach Nichoach. They're all a sweet swelling. It's a fire, a sweet fragrance before Hashem.
Right.
So all of them. So you see that the Torah equates the steer, the bird, and the mincha. And the Pashit shot is that really the mincha is the least. So really that's where this lesson should be learned. That echra marbe echra mamet. Not on the bird. I mean, the bird is less than the steer, but the mimical accord is more, less, even less than that. It's true, like I said, the punim yafos, the baal flaw, I think wants to learn it the other way around. He wants to learn that the bird could be actually wind up being less than the mimical. But I don't know if it concludes at the end. I just saw the beginning begin to, but that's still not the pashup shot. Right? That's something you see I shouldn't say that's the pashup shot. He knows pashup shot better than I know pashup about that for sure. Whatever, but most people I don't think learn it like that. So there's okay, so now those two little bold lines there right in the middle, see that's it, the kasha. So it's schwer, it's difficult. Why is Rashi Madur Rashi Havius Adin Echramav Echad Al Olas Lofu Al Mincha Shilachora Zol Yoter? That was with the question we just asked. Why does Rashi bring the din of Echramav of Echramamit on the bird rather than on the mincha, the meal offering, because the meal offering is cheaper. And you could learn the lesson more strongly over there. The idea that it makes no difference how much you do, rather the quality of what you do. You're mecham l'shem shemayim. Okay? Another kasha is if in fact it makes no difference what you do, but just your intention, right? Just your intention of being l'shem shamayim. So why then do we need, as it were, to burn the bird with its feathers that's got a foul odor so that it'll look bigger? But you just finished telling me it makes no difference how big it is. In other words, there's a contradiction in the ideas over here. On the one hand, you're telling me if it does make a difference, you do a lot or you do a little, right? Fine, wonderful. Now I've got a bird. I'm going to be back with the bird. But I know that they taught me. They taught me the last mission in Menachos that it makes no difference how much you do. All that counts is what your intention is. Your intention is to do Murik L'Shem Shamayim, then you're in good shape. You're in good shape. So I'm not embarrassed.
But the person who does a lot for Hashem, does he need one to get more credit than the one who just does a little less than
Hashem? Oh, so we'll see. That's a point to ponder. Right? That's a point to ponder. But okay, we'll see. It's Hashem. But I'm asking, there's a steer in the thing. The steer in the limudi. If I'm coming to the Mizbeach, I can only afford a bird. I'm bringing a bird. But I'm not embarrassed. I watch my booster my gazoo. I know that they told me in Menachos, right? Echra marbev, echra mamet, ubelvad shichaven libo l'shamayim. I know that. So therefore, I'm not embarrassed that my bird is not as big as this ox that this guy's bringing. The guy's bringing blue, right? Now he's bringing blue with ox. He's bringing him to be mock of him, and I got this little bird here. I got, you know, Tweety Pie, yeah. And I'm bringing. That sounds a little savage. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Whatever. Okay, you know, I'm bringing this bird here. But I'm not. What me worry? So I'm going to pick off the feathers. No, coach, don't pick off the feathers. Leave the feathers on. I said, what do you mean? It's going to smell bad. He says, no. We want it to look big. Hey man, get it together. You just told me it doesn't make a difference how big it is. Right? It doesn't make a difference how big it is. You told me that, and that's why I wasn't booshed out of my gazoo in the first place. I said, don't take the feathers off, even though it's going to stink. Why? Because we want it to look big. So there's something funny here. So the yes, that's true. So
these are your kashas?
That's my kasha. Well, the first kasha is what he called is my kasha, but it lamaisa the Mefarshim ask it also. The second kasha I didn't see anybody ask. So the maskil of David. The maskil of David. Right? Oh, that's from David Prado. I didn't know that. Okay, I quote. So, Maskil of David, and Farshi Rashi. So, look what he says there. He says, Ba'of Namar. You see that? Maskil of David? Ba'of Namar. Reach Nichoach. B'shilim Menachos, the end of Menachos, Tan. Nema ba'olas ha-behema e-sherech nichoach u-ba'olas ha-of omar rashbi. Yeah, I bet that's in the Baraisa, the Mishnah's own name. Yeah, lemedcha, to teach you v'rikon echa ramar v'rech ha-mamit v'v'chad yishichav en libo l'shamayim v'hashta kasha al-rashi amai hishmit ha-mincha. Right? Why do you leave out mincha in terms of this idea of echra marv and verecha mamit? Right? Bram ikal ameida kamasnis in hechik tani echra marv and verecha mamit demashmid is shoving ninhu. Vare be'oni amisnadev mincha matzanu revusa yisera revusa yisera demaral of akosav kilu hikriv nafsho. Rashi says, Rashi said, I left out that Rashi, because when you do things at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not all that careful.
Left out the Rashi?
Yeah, there's a Rashi. If you look in Rashi, beginning of Perek Beis, maybe did I bring it down? No, I don't think so. In the beginning of Perek Beis, of recording, here in my Yikra, the nefesh ki sakri korban mincha l'Hashem solus yeh korbono. So he says the nefesh ki sakri lo ne'mar nefesh b'chol korbanos nedova el b'mincha. It only says the word nefesh when we're about the what he called being makriv, when we talk about the korban mincha. Mi darko isnadev mincha. Who is the person who gives a mincha? Ani, a person who's really poor. Really poor. Amar kosh brocho maleni alav ki ilu hikriv nafsho.
Well, a mincha is also brought by somebody who's obligated a mincha because he brought a...
Those are minchas nechasachim, right. We're not talking about those. We're talking about bringing mincha individually. Right? Talking about bringing you good. Boy, you're good, let me tell you. Shows you learn what to call that stuff. Yeah, so we call it, so, yeah, and he's bringing the mincha individually. So we bring them in mincha individually. So says Rashi, why is it nefesh over here? Because who brings a mincha? An ani. Right, an ani. And it says, mala ala kasuv ki ilu hikrivis nafsho. That's why it says nefesh. So it says the masculine David, he says, that's why Rashi left out the idea of echra marbe, echra mamit, the vad shechav in liv l'shamayim from the mincha. Why? He says, because that lesson we could already learn from the oath. It's true, we also learn it from the mincha. But Rashi wants to be madgish that there's another lesson you can learn from the mincha. And that is, the mincha is where, is what we call it, that where a person who is moser nefesh, to give the mincha, it's as though he's makriv his nefesh. In other words, the Maskil David says,
level.
What?
It's a higher level than giving a cow.
That's what he says, because he didn't want to confuse the issue. It's true that you learn from the fact that it says, Isharech Nichoach, it's another example of Echara Marbe, Echara Mami, to Bavad Shechav and Liva Loshamayim, like we saw in the Mishnah in Menachos. But Rashi says, there's another lesson that's learned from the Mincha, and therefore he didn't want to confuse the issue over here by saying Echara Marbe, Echara Mami, because this person is more than Echara Marbe, Echara Mami. Why? Because the person who brought the ox, somebody say, he's wealthy, he brings an ox. The person who brings the bird, okay, so he's a little bit down on the strata, so he can't afford an ox, but he buys a bird. But the ani, it's conceivable, he's got no money b'chalal. He's going to beg, borrow, and steal. He's only going to steal, right? But he'll go hungry a day in order to save money, in order to be able to bring a little bit of a mincha for a korban. So that's a different level. That's not just, okay, given my circumstances, so I'll do as much as I can do. Given the circumstances, he can't do anything. He has to be moser nefesh. He has to change his circumstances. He has to make life more difficult for himself in order to bring the korban. And everybody else is bringing according to what their status is, the financial status. He, if given his financial status, he couldn't do anything. So there's a new lesson there. There's a new lesson there. There's the lesson of what he called of that when he gives, it's as though he's a hikrivis nafsho. That's why Rashi didn't mention over this. That's the masculine David says. It's fascinating, yeah?
And it's
Very interesting. But now that we have the second question. Second question was, there appears to be a contradiction. If we're telling the Ani that Echad Amar v'Echad Mamit Levad Shechav and Libo Shamayim, quantity is not the Iker. It's all quality. So if that's true, so then why are we telling him to leave the feathers on, which smell, which lechora is not something you should do in the mikdash? You don't want to create a foul smell. That was trying to prove from the idea that the way the Rambam is magdir the need for ketores, right, to dispel the foul odor. Again, that on the surface it just sounds like a deodorizer, but we're talking about the idea that foul odors are associated with death. They're associated with death, right? Something detached from life. So that being the case, so we want a fresh smell there. But here, okay,
the ketores are brought in the inside.
Maskim. I mean, though they could smell it all the way to Yericho. They smell all the way to Yericho. But here we go out of our way to do something which is going to create a foul odor in order to make it look big, but they don't need to be big. They're brought down the kula. It doesn't make difference how much you bring it. All you do is the chavashim v'shamayim. So I don't know. The terminology in Rashi, when Rashi brings down about burning the feathers, go back up there. Rashi says, Notza Mamish, right? And you see the back of the Rashi there in Vayikra, Parakal Pasuk Yitzayin. Bichnafav, with its wings. Notza Mamish, with the feathers themselves. Velo ein lecha hedjot. You don't have a the most pushit person. Shemei riach reach rash al knafayim. Yeah, nisrafim. Ve ein nafsho kotza alav. A person, even the guy who's most, he's used to he's not, you know, Mr. Highfalutin here. Right? He's sitting around, you know, in a Chanel shop all day long, you know, swelling. Oh, the fragrance is so special. Right?
This garbage
is,
man.
Right? What?
Garbage man.
A garbage man. But you can smell burning feathers, right? He's like, ugh. Well, that's yuck. Right? Right? Ein nafsho kotza alav. His nefesh is, but he can't take it. It's repelled by it.
The foul odor.
And there's the nefesh, because the nefesh lechor is lechor. You would assume that it's built into man because the nefesh is the life force in the person, and the foul odor is really called is something that reeks of death. I mean, again, not exactly death, but we call it foul odors are the opposite of life, like we tried to say before from the morning of Vuchim. But if you look, you take a look, see, Rashi in Beitza says an interesting thing. Right? Rashi in Beitza says, when it talks about the idea of neshama yisera, that a person has neshama yisera on Shabbos. So Rashi says over there, rochav lev limenucha ulesimcha, he has a breadth of heart for both menucha, which is tranquility, simcha, which is expansion, happiness, right? V'lios pasuach l'revacha. It's open, broadly open, right? V'yochav yishte v'ein nafsho katza alav. The same terminology, nafsho katza alav. In other words, in ordinarily, when a person eats, so there is a battle. There's a battle between the guf and the neshama. The neshama is saying, yeah! And the goof is saying, so the goof is saying, yeah, okay, one more steak. Can we get a 5-inch one here? Right, et cetera, right. And the neshama is saying, ah! Help Rachmanis! You're drowning me in physicality, right? Why are you doing this? Right? So there's always a conflict. In the goof and the neshama. But on Shabbos, right, since there's a mitzvah to eat, there's a mitzvah to be aneg the goof as well, right? There's a mitzvah to be aneg the goof. A person should be in this total state of oneg, both the neshama and the goof, not just the goof alone, but not just the neshama alone. Both should be meant to be, in other words, what oneg is where the neshama is in sync with the goof, and the two of them, as it were, expand, they, what we call the life force of the neshama blends together with the existence of the goof, and the two expand together.
Mari says it's worth like kabbalos.
Yeah.
Exactly, the just like the goof's nana from the person eats the korban. So also the nefesh is nana. Also,
the chil shel mitzvah.
Yeah.
Right? Chil shel mitzvah. So that's the lashon they use by neshama yisera. Right? The idea that when there's no conflict over there, there's just happiness. There's not just happiness. So then the fact that the goof is eating doesn't share the neshama. The neshama is really goes happy with it. It's good with it. So I think that perhaps this is another idea over here. It's not that we're saying, well, really, it's really small. Right? It's really small. Because it's really small, we don't want it to look small. Right? It's not just that. It is the idea that we're so excited, that Mizbeach is so excited to receive the korban of the one who's brought whatever he can bring. Echar amar v'echar amamit. That even though the foul odor comes, right? The foul odor comes from the burning of the feathers. It doesn't share. There's no conflict. There's no conflict here because the joy is so great because the person has brought whatever he can bring. So therefore, there's no conflict between the foul odor, as it were, is not so there. Yeah, the happiness of the record of the Mizbeach, Hashem is sameach with him. Hashem is showing. He's not only showing. You know, don't worry. You're also okay. And now you're also okay. I'm ecstatic. I'm so ecstatic about it that when you call it the burning of the feathers is not a problem, Bechlal.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, okay, fine. So this means that we saw what we call Echra Marbe, Echra Mamit, Bechad Shin Kavanli B'Shamayim. We saw the second idea of the Ani, who's Makriv and Mincha. He's even more than that, because he's given, right, he's in Mosa Nefesh, Kili Hikriv is Nafsho. We've seen that Kosh Boku is interested in showing that his joy of our doing his Ratzon is so great that it even overcomes what on the surface would be, right, something that's foul smelling, sort of like Ava Mekalkelis Asashura. Right, the love overcomes what would ordinarily be, you know, this is logic. Like when Avram Avinu, when he went to do the Akedah, so he saddled his own chamor. Right? He doesn't have people to help him. No, he was so in love with the Rabbon Hashem to do the Rabbon Hashem's will. Avram the Kalkelis Ashura. You don't even think straight. You're so in love. It's just you don't even think straight. So too by Bilam Lahavdil. Bilam saddled his own aton, or to go what he called to go curse the Jewish people. Oh, he didn't have a sharsim. The guy was the biggest bunk guy ever walking around. But he said, no, Hashem the Kalkelis Ashura. When a person is overcome by passions, either positive ones or God forbid negative ones, right? So his logical thinking is where it passes by the way. It's the same thing also over here. He's willing to, the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to show that even though it smells, this lehavach is mahura to me, because in it is what he called is your ability, the best you can do under the circumstances. Fine. Okay. So now in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Aleph, right, it says Tov ma'at tachanunim bekavana, meharbos below kavana. In Shulchan Aruch it says it's better to say fewer tachanunim, fewer, right, bakoshes, you know, tefillas, you know, piyutim, etc. thing. Better to say fewer with kavana than to say more without kavana. Right? Says the Taz, right? Because Zeloshon Rabbeinu Tov Maat Echad Amar Bev Echad Amamit Levad Shechavein Libo right? Lasham betachanunov. Ki tov ma'at bekavona meharbos behem shalo bekavona. In other words, this idea of it's better to say less with kavona than to say more without kavona is based upon echra marbe ve'echra mamit ubevachi chavin libo l'shamayim. Whether the person does a lot, the person does a little, the ikar is that mechavin libo l'shamayim. Okay? Right? She says, based upon the Mishnah here in Menachos that we just saw that Rashi brought down with regard to the korbanos. The kosher, this is the lesson, this is Taz. The kosher, memanavshach. Make up your mind. Imairi tchila b'marbe b'kavana. This guy is being marbe, right? When it says echra marbe, echra mamit. The person is being marbe. So is he being marbe b'kavana or not b'kavana? Does he have kavana when he's being marbe? This is sort of like what you're talking about before. Mm-hmm. If a guy is doing more, he's doing kavana, so shouldn't he get more schar? He says, "Imairi tchila b'marbe b'kavana, lama yashve imamamit." Why should it be equal? The guy is doing less. V'i below kavana, and if neither of them doing with kavana, lama amar achakach kitov yoser. And as we're talking about two people who are doing with kavana, so why shouldn't the guy who's doing more with kavana get more schar than the person who's doing less with kavana? And if we're talking about two people, right, two people who are not doing with kavana, so why is one better than the other? Both are no good. Mitchila hishvosam, ubegemara sof menachos amin and echad amav ve'echad amamit, ubevach yichavin libel shamayim. V'nir al pi dematzino v'perak kama de Shabbos. Right? He says, I want to explain this based upon the Gemara in the first perak of Shabbos. Rava chanzi al Rav Amnuna. Rava saw Rav Amnuna de komarich betzluse. He saw that he was davening. A very long Shemona Esrei, long davening. Amar, he said, meinichin chaya olam. He says, you're leaving by the wayside eternal life, i.e. the study of Torah. Torah is called Chai Olam. Like we say in the Birchas Torah, Chai Olam Nata B'Sochenu. Learning of Torah is beyond this, is what we call it as Olam Abba material. And V'oskim Chai Shah, and you're involved in temporal things. Tefillah. Tefillah is only in Olam Hazeh. In Olam Haba there is no Tefillah. There's only Torah. In Olam Haba. So Olam Hazeh is what we call it is got Tefillah in it. So why are you spending more time on your Tefillah? You should be mekatzer and go learn. V'hu savar, and Rav Amnuna was of opinion, zman Torah l'chud, we call it zman tefillah l'chud. Rav Amnuna says that we call it that the cheshbon of time that you use for tefillah doesn't come off your cheshbon of Torah. In other words, we call it, in Olam Hazeh, you have to have a time for tefillah, and that's not considered as though, well, technically, all your time you should be using for what we call for Torah, right? It's not like, let's say, parnasa. You gotta make a parnasa. You have to make a parnasa. So you have to make a parnasa, and you gotta learn Torah. So when you're making your parnasa, so then fine. So then, when you can't, you're not able to learn then. That means as soon as you finish making parnasa, you go, go learn. Let's say a person decides he wants to, waste time afterwards. You can't waste time afterwards. If you're making parnasa, fine. If you're not making parnasa, go learn. So he's saying the same thing is also here. You've got tefillah. You could daven, but you could daven for 5 minutes, you could daven for 8 minutes, you could daven for 10 minutes, you could daven for 15 minutes. Daven for 8 minutes, daven for 5 minutes, why daven for 15 minutes? You're spending time that what he calls that you could be using for Torah. Why are you doing that? But Rav Amnuna says no. Rav Amnuna says it's not like the average time of Olam Hazeh. Tefillah, you have to make time for tefillah, and tefillah is an avodah unto itself, and that's not on the cheshbon of Torah. It has nothing to do with Torah. Nothing to do with Olam Hazeh. Zman tefillah l'chud, zman Torah l'chud. Says, yeah, Malkain, right?
What do you mean it's not on the cheshbon of learning? That means the more tefillah you do, the more learning you do.
No. In other words, you're still obligated to learn, but it's not as though you're taking,
not
right?
Not called Bittul Torah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like Rav Nachum used to say, he used to, and people would ask him, about learning, he says, you're always mechuyev to learn. You're always mechuyev to learn. Only when something else has to be done, so you have to do it. but you always chayav to learn. Now the question is, should you be mitzamtzim your tefillah? Says Rav Menuna, no. So that's machlokes Rava and Rav Menuna. Okay, fine. So he says that's what it means. Echra marbe, that's what the Shulchan Aruch meant. Echra marbe, echra mamit, right? The Rav if she chavin leave the shemayim. He says vehusa echra mamit betefillah kerava shekavanaso lasok betorah. Al came this time shafir levach yichavin leave the shemayim. Kolmer ba'osa inyan shemay betefillah hu l'shem shemayim. Right? In other words, if a person, we're talking about two people over here. The Lashon HaTur is and he should pour forth, as it were, put forth his beseeching before the Creator. Echad amarbe ve'echad amamit. Be a person who does a lot, be a person who does little. Ubelvad.
He says, be a person who does a lot.
Be he.
Whether or not he does the little or whether or not he does the small.
Right.
Be he.
Right. He says you have to daven. You have to be mapil your tchina before the Rabbonu Shalom. Echra marbe ve'echra mamit. Whether you do a lot or you do a little, levach yichavin libel l'shamayim. Right? V'tachanunav. Ki tov ma'at bekavana meharbos v'hem shalom bekavana. Right? A little bit with kavana is better than a lot without kavana. So the Taz is bothered by him. He says, what are we talking about? Right? And first he brought Echad Amarbe Verech Amamit, and then he says afterwards, Tov Ma'at Bekavonim Harbe Shalom Bekavonim. So he says, the initial statement of Echad Amarbe Verech Amamit is coming to talk about that like two people, like Rava and Rav Amnuna. Rava said it's better to spend less time on davening. Right? Why? Because he felt that you shouldn't leave Torah in order to daven. Rav Amnuna felt Zman Torah l'chud, v'zman tefillah l'chud, and therefore one doesn't encroach upon the other, and you can do more. You can do more. So that was the initial statement, says the Taz. That was what he says. Echad amarbe ve'echad amamit. Right? Bal davar zeh shapir amru echad amarbe betefillah kirav Amnuna. The tefillah is Zman Torah l'chud. Echad amamit betefillah kirav shekavanos l'asak betorah. Balkein Messiah Shapir Ubelvad Shechavin Libel Shemaim Klomar Baosa Inyan Shemay Ma'ayit Tefila. You have to put equal the reason if you're being Ma'ayit Tefila is L'Shem Shemayim, so then it's okay. So that's why Rava was Ma'ayit Tefila. There's no problem because he was Ma'ayit L'Shem Shemayim because he felt they should be learning Torah then. Vapizeh Amar Rabbeinu, right? And based upon that, said the Shulchan Aruch, said the Brikol Tatur, the Shulchan Aruch, yeah. Kilafamim. Who ribwe at tefila siba l'shelo yuchal l'chavein. That's why the statement over here, right, where it says yatov chinos l'tei abokol echad amar v'echad amavik v'vach yichavein libel l'shamayim b'tachanun ki tov ma'at v'kavana miharbos v'hem shelo v'kavana. He learned from the idea that Rava said it's not kedai to daven so much. Why? Because I should be learning Torah. From that he learned that if the reason why you're being mamayit is l'shem shamayim, so then you're okay. So not only with Rava's explanation because he says you've been learning Torah, but let's say I'm saying too many things, and because I'm not concentrating, if I'm mamayit then, that's also l'shem shamayim, that's the Seder. I'm avenging to the family who rebuy atfila sibil shol yuchal l'chavim, in king tov l'katzer. Right, they say all these piyutim, they say all these things, and people are not focused on it, etc. And it winds up that they're saying less, they're not, they're saying they have less kavana. So that's also a shame shemayim. when they're not saying as much, when they're saying less. Saying less to keep yourself from losing your concentration is what he calls considered l'shem shamayim.
As well as the person
who davens
really fast,
so
he doesn't mind. People daven really fast, they say,
Okay, fine, that also could be true. Vechramamit, metam shiyelo kavana. Valkein tzim, ulvad shichavin libo l'shamayim. Pirish, shamiyot hu memayit, l'siba shichavin libo l'shamayim. Ki tov yoser, memayit v'kavana, mimi shemarbe b'lo kavana. V'zeo siba shememayit, right? Shiyelo kavana, kanal. Right, that's nochon. That's considered l'shem shamayim. Right, that's considered l'shem shamayim. What?
What's considered?
If you are saying less, if you're saying less because it's preventing you to have kavana properly, mm-hmm. right? So then what do you call it? Then that's what do you call it? That's called the Shem Shemayim. That's called the Shem Shemayim.
Saying less.
You say less to keep kavana. Okay.
What about the person whether or not he davens little or davens a lot?
What do you mean?
That was the beginning of the paragraph. A person, whether he davens a lot or whether he davens a little.
It started with Echra Marbe Vechra Mamit, Bavak Shechav and Liv Shemaim. So instead, we call it, so he started off, he started off explaining it based upon the recall, the Machlokas Rava and Rav Hamnuna. Rava didn't daven as much as Rav Hamnuna, because Rava said it's better to be Osek in Torah. Right? You shouldn't, your tefillah shouldn't take away from the time of your Torah so much. Rav Hamnuna held that each one has its unique time, mm-hmm. and therefore, right? Therefore, you be marach betefillin; it's not a problem. So from that, the tour, from that, the Shulchan Aruch extracted, right, that it's better to say more, right? Better to say less with kavana than more without kavana. What is he saying by saying that? He's saying, I'm learning from the din of Echra Marve Verecha Mamit, which the Taz explained, is based upon the Machlokas, Rava and Rava Mnuna, right, is in terms of Hilchas Tefillah. He says, I learned from that if a person is Mechavein, right, better when he says less, and that's why he says less, that's good. Okay, because that's considered l'shem shamayim. So now the Sfasembes says, on page 2 there, yeah? He brings down the Mishnah, Echramar v'mechamamit. He brings down the Taz, right? He says, Afal Pichkein, in the second line of the Sfasembes, right? The Vayikra, Tarlav, right? Tafra Ishlamet Vav. He says, Afal Pichkein, Nira, Dukushim Yikar Leisa. He says, I think the question doesn't exist to begin with. Right? He says, Kibbe MS and
Hamate Marbe or.
Right.
Feeling doesn't exist.
Right. He says, no problem. He says, Kibbe MS ain't Hefresh bein Marbe Lemamit. Af im Shnehem Miskavnim Latov. There's no difference. Now, the. It's an interesting thing over here.
This is fun.
Right? There's no difference between the Marbe and the Mamit if both of them are Mechavin Latov. And as if both of them, as it were, their intention is tov, there's no difference. Ki ba'avodas ha'bore, ein nafkamina b'ribui, rak v'sorus rotzon emes v'alev. The whole interest is, yeah, the hisorus, to awaken, yeah, awaken the heart. Awaken the heart. So if I awaken my heart with a little, and you awaken your heart with a lot, there's no difference. There's no difference. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say like this. Right?
What does the Mishnah Berurah say?
Mishnah Berurah says, what he called, if they're both being mechavein, and one says more, it's better. Okay? This could be a difference between the Litvak and the Chassidim. Mm-hmm. Right? Tfasemes says, he says, there's no difference. Because the Iker is just to be more of the lathe.
What does Mr.
Brewer
say, a lot without Kavanah?
No, not without Kavanah. It's Kavanah. Yeah. He says, Yimshneim b'chav l'tov, ki avodas ha'borei enaf gamina b'riboy, rak b'isorus rotzon emes v'lev. Ba'adraba, mishenu yochol la'asos harbe, u'mechavein b'hama'at, efshir choshev yoser. A person, let's say, he doesn't have the capacity, right, He doesn't have the capacity to be mechavin a lot. Right? He doesn't have the capacity to be mechavin a lot. He doesn't have the kochos ha-nefesh. Right? Could be that the little bit he's able to squeeze out is made more choshev. Made more choshev than what he caught, than that which the other person has the capacity, right, to do. He's got a greater capacity. And it depends on your kochos ha-nefesh. Depends on your abilities. The emes nira, a perish marbu mamid beinyan yemei atova v'yemei hara. And the truth is, right? The truth is, he says that this is also true. It's not just about two different people. It's talking about one person, but in different situations in life. The emes nira, a perish marbe umamit beinyan yemei atova v'yemei hara. Ki yisrabus hamasim tovim be'eis psichas leiv ha'odam. When a person is when a person is in good times and he's able to do a lot, right? So he does a lot. That's what he does. When the aperture of the heart is open wide, do a lot. But then there's sometimes tough times of difficulty, times maybe of depression, times of confusion, right? So then I can't do as much as I did, what you call, did before.
Should be the other way around.
But that's okay. You're memayit then, right? As long as you're mechavim l'shem shemayim, you leave l'shem shemayim, even though you can't do what you did before, but that's what Hashem wants from you now. Echa marvav, echa mamit. We've already chavim leave l'shemayim. It also depends on the situation. Says the Rikwad, he says, V'hu inyan sh'omru b'shem arav mi lublin, b'choz mi lublin, used to say, when other comes in, you increase the simcha. Mm-hmm. And when av comes in, you decrease the simcha. Uperish laharbos tzad hakedusha ulemayit tzad hatuma. In other words, what does it mean? When other comes in, you marbe the simcha and the tzad hakedusha. When Av comes in, you remind the simcha that's not of Kedusha. Right? You remind, because the situation determines whether you're going to be marbe or mamit. That's what he's coming to say.
Uh-huh.
In other words, it's not just talking about two people. It's talking about one person. Different situations in life, different situations in time. Right? As long as he's mechavim l'shem shamayim. As long as he's mechavim l'shem shamayim. Shem shamayim. Could be even the Mishnah Berurah, what he called I think it's a different one, but I can't cover that up. Right.
So Svasemis is saying it depends on the person's ability, whether or not he's capable of doing a lot or whether he's capable of doing a little. It's his intention.
To do l'shem shamayim.
Right? To awaken his inner self.
Right. And even in the same person, in different situations in life, it's not just two different people, it's even the same person.
That's understandable.
Okay.
You should know when it's time to.
Right, because these are different expectations when we call when a person is Yimei Tova, and different expectations from when a person is Yimei Ra, when those difficult days come.
The main thing is to awaken their heart.
Right. So the last thing, we'll just synopsize it. Right? The synopsize it, which has to do with Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Zohar. Parshas Zohar. Basically, the idea is that Amalek, who is the tincture. He's the tincture of Esav. And Esav's forte is like a diamond day Esav. His hands. Right, are the hands of Esav.
How do you hold?
What? The hands of Esav. The hands of Esav.
What do you say? The Amalek is?
Is the tincture of Esav.
What does tincture mean?
Concentrate.
Concentrate or a little? Concentrate is a lot.
You're starting off. The concentrate is when you got it. When it's concentrated, So then you only need a little bit, recall, but it gets the whole thing, right? But I'm saying that because he's the essence of Amalek, of the essence of the worst essence of Esav. Esav is the Yadayim de Esav, his hands. In other words, Esav, really the way the world was meant to be, had Esav not betrayed his responsibility, he was supposed to take care of the physical world, and Yaakov was just sitting and learning. But Esav didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. It was going to be like Yisachar Zvulun. Esav didn't want to do that. Esav, in turn, takes his hands, and his hands, the world of Asiya, becomes a place of where his every effort he does, every success he has, yeah, detaches him more and more from the Creator. Yadayim de Esav. His pe'ula, his actions, his yadayim, are yadayim tmeos. The attack of Amalek against the Jewish people caused them to be infected with this Esavian, yeah, this Amalekian worldview. It infected us.
So Amalek was affected by Esav.
No, Amalek is a descendant of Esav. It's his grandson. Right, so but say he is the essence of Esav, the essence of the bad part of Esav, which is the usage of the here and the now world, not to be to sanctify it and to attach it to Hashem, but rather to detach it from Hashem. That's why it says by him, you live by the sword. You detach. You separate it from what he called from the Shemayim. The attack of Amalek, the fact that Amalek had the chutzpah to attack us, it weakens our emunah. It weakens our emunah that Hashem is with us here in this world. He essentially is infecting us with his philosophy of the world, which is that the world is detached from Hashem, God forbid. The world of a sea is attached to them. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's job description was, he was on the mountain, and they raised his hands upward. Right? When his hands were cold, his hands were upward, and the Jews saw Moshe Rabbeinu's hands lifted upwards, so they understood that the way to defeat Amalek, the way to defeat Amalek was to always remember that the actions that you do here are attached to Shemayim. Hands stretching upwards towards Shemayim. Okay? Hello?
Yeah, we'll
right? Okay. Yeah. So we call it, so then we call that was the battle. Lamaisa, we were infected, and the Sfasemis says that ultimately what played out from that was that post Amalek, which came Matan Torah, then afterwards was the Cheta Egel. After the Cheta Egel, in other words, the need to manipulate the here and the now, the need, really, to be in control, the need that we can't rely upon Hashem's providence, as it were, just to guide you and be somak on Him. Place your trust in Him exclusively. That was the Cheta Egel.
You're saying that the attack of Amalek was...
The attack of Amalek is the end of Beshalach.
No, you're saying that the Cheta Egel was a direct result of the attack of...
It was a result of the infection that we received from, what do you call it, from Malik. A lessening of emunah, a more belief that the here and the now needs to be in my hand so I can control it.
Why? Because, let's say, you know, if somebody attacks each other, you come back to your enemy and you're going to have more fierceness.
Understand, what do you call it, the fact that until then, the Jews were riding high. Right? All the nations of the world were afraid of them. The fact that someone had the Medrash brings down, that it's comparable to for a boiling hot bathtub that no one was willing to stick their foot into until it came along one brazen guy, even though he knew he was going to get burnt. But he cooled down the bathtub for everybody. No one was afraid afterwards to put their foot into it. So no, just like it cooled down the rest of the world, it cooled us down as well.
We defeated Amalek, didn't we?
Yehoshua was machlishim, he weakened him, but nonetheless, the fact that he attacked us, that itself had an effect upon us. The fact that he wasn't afraid to attack us had an effect upon us.
So how that would affect us. That means saying, well, if Hashem is allowing them to attack us,
that means that if you recall, that means that we're not impervious. That means there are things down over here that we can't be protected from, which is not true. That was part of the Nisayon. But because of that, Sasana says that has an effect, and it infected us, and it came to the fore, the protozoan that he infected us with, what he called, you know, began to multiply and became manifest in the Chet HaEgel. Post the Chet HaEgel.
That's a lot of questions.
What?
It stirred questions of the Muna.
Yeah. Okay. So post the Chet HaEgel, right, we can no longer do things. We talked about this a few times already in earlier Parshas and Shmos and the Sfas Emes. We can't do things the same way. We have to put extra effort into being Makadosh the Asiya. Right, to sanctifying the Asiya. We have to put in more effort into the world of Maisa, of action.
Why?
Because since our relationship with the world of action has been tainted by our encounter with Amalek, so what we need to do is we need to invest more effort into what we call into our action in order to re-sanctify the world of action. And that essentially says the first medrash here in
how would you define action? In mitzvahs?
Mitzvahs, right? Or in case over here the korbanos in the what do you call it in the Mishkan, etc. So that's where the first medrash here in wherever it is in Vayikra says brings the pasuk that we learned in Tilim, Baruch Hashem Malachov Gibori Koach Lishmoa, right? Right, the Shmoa. Kuf Gimel. Baruch Hashem Malach of Gibore Koach, Ose Dvoro, the Shmoa be called Dvoro. Baruch Hashem Malach of. Right, the two psukim. No, Baruch Hashem, his angels, but here it refers to his agents. His agents is shlichim. That's us. Baruch Hashem Malachov. That's the Medrash says. We are Hashem shlichim in the world. We praise Him. Gibori Koach. Those who are warriors of strength. Is what Gibor Kovish is Yitro. Yeah, that's us. Osei Dvaro. We do His Dibor. We do Hashem's will. We do mitzvos. Lishmoa beKol Dvaro. In order to be able to hear the depth, you gotta do in order to be able to record, in order to be makabel the Torah properly. You need, there was a ribuy of mitzvos that we needed. We need to, because we had to reconquer the world of Asiya, because we live in that world. So before it was tainted by our involvement with Amalek, so then we could have done less and still understood. But now we need more. We need the Mishkan. We need all of the. We'll need a ribuy of mitzvos, etc.
So we need tikkunim to at least to return us to the.
Right. So that's the idea of Baruch Hashem Malachov. Right. Baruch Hashem Malachov. That's us. Gibori Koch. Osei Dvar. We do God's will. Lishmoa b'kol Dvar. In order to be able to hear, and as we hear, what he calls it restructures our worldview based upon what we do. When we do mitzvos, that's how we restructure our worldview. We need to reclaim the world of Asiya. From the world of Asiya. The second pasuk after is Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvav Mesharas Avosi Ritzono. The Kol Tzvav, the hosts in heaven. They can do everything because they have no Yetzahara. They only have what he called, they have only one direction. But we have to be Baruch Hashem, right? Malachov, Gibore Koach. Right? Ose Dvaro Lishmo Kol Dvaro. That's the only way that we can accomplish.
So define the world of Asiya as the world of.
Doing mitzvahs here in the world. Here this message is referring to doing the avoda in the Mishkan. So that's how the Sfas Emes is where it ties together when Parshas Zohar, comes, yeah, it comes in conjunction with Parshas Vayikra. This first mention of Vayikra is very appropriate, because this is how we reclaim, this is how we reclaim the world of Asiya from Amalek. And we have to always remember to maintain the enmity towards Amalek, for what they stand for. Their desire is to tell us that the world of Asiya, the world of the doing, the world of here now, is cut off from Hashem. And we have to, on the contrary, we have to counter that by sanctifying everything we come into contact with
that's
in this world.
That's what we do with our
mystery. Right. Right. Okay.